It's the What Are You Driven By podcast, where we dive deep to see what motivates and drives our community's best leaders. Welcome back to the What Are You Driven By podcast, where we discover what truly drives leaders in our community to accomplish their goals, and also what engages them in the work that they do. So I'm your host, Deandra Filicetti, a professional speaker and facilitator, and today I am joined by Mike Parkinson, the owner of Billion Dollar Graphics, and also a keynote speaker and trainer. Hi, Mike.
Hello, how are you doing?
Great. I'm so excited to have you here. How are you?
I'm doing super. I'm excited to be here. I just saw your TEDx talk and I thought it was brilliant. If anybody hasn't watched it, please watch it. It was spot on and it goes by so fast because you're such a good communicator. So,
oh, thank you so much. And thank you for taking the time to watch that. I really appreciate it. The TEDx was really, really fun. And so, you know, this whole journey that I'm on with, you know, facilitation and speaking has led me to you in a way. And I found you through a webinar that you did, which was absolutely fantastic. So I guess for our listeners, maybe we'll rewind a little bit and I'll let you introduce yourself and more about what you do.
So I have an opinion on introductions. I don't want to give a long introduction. In your TEDx, you just got up there and did your thing. You just were you. And the deal is, you know, someone has a great CV, they have great credentials, and then they start chatting and you're like, ugh, or just the opposite. So long story short, I'm a geek. I own two companies, Billion Dollar Graphics with my wife. It's a small do-it-yourself creative services firm where we give products and training on you doing it yourself. And then I own a graphics firm called 24 Hour Company, which is a we do it for you. So there's two different things. I didn't want to muddy the waters with, well, do you do it for us or we do it ourselves? So I made the two different companies. And the rest is just me getting out there and being enthusiastic and trying to help other people be successful.
Amazing. And you do a fantastic job at that. And you know what? I love the clarity of the separation of the two companies. I think, you know, a lot of things can get lost when we try to do too much under one umbrella. So I think that was a great idea. And so now those two companies, so you said Billion Dollar Graphics is with your wife and, you know, and 24 Hour Graphics is you have more of a team. So you're more engaged in getting your team engaged. So I want to talk a little bit about that, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely. And
starting with your approach on leadership, like what does being in that position mean to you?
At its core, it's inspiring and guiding others to a shared goal, something that we all have in our head and we're all kind of pointing toward the same mission, the same vision. That seems to be the best way to go. And it's not always easy.
That is very true. It's, in fact, I would argue that most times it's not, right? You're dealing with so many personalities, so many types of people, and all trying to get them pointed in that one direction. So I think it takes a certain charisma, one that you have that excites and engages people. So, you know, besides that, what are some of the other characteristics that you think it's important for leaders to have?
Well, one is certainly the vision, because that's that clear purpose that unites us and kind of drives us forward. It's our shared goal, our shared purpose. And the one thing I've learned on my limited time on this planet is purpose is a big part of success. Success being happy, healthy, wealthy, wise. Wealthy being not worrying about money. That's wealthy. Yeah. Is not Learjets. It's don't worry about money. Can I eat tonight? That can be wealthy. Mm-hmm. The other one is going to be this one is important to me, clarity. And to subdivide it down even further, it's simplicity. And effective communicators have figured out the simplest way to package something so that people understand. It could be a metaphor, it could be a simile, it could be analogy, or it could be literally finding the simplest way to explain it. Amelia Barr, who is this amazing novelist from the UK, said it's always the simple that produces the marvelous. Dejan Stojanovic, the Serbian poet, when I was writing one of my keynotes, I found all these great thinkers on simplicity. And Dejan Stojanovic said, it's the most complicated skill is to be simple. And then what was it? Benjamin Franklin, Thoreau, Pascal all said, if I had more time, I would have written you a shorter letter.
Wow.
Because it's hard. It's very hard to be simple. And so I feel like clarity / simplicity was my longest answer yet. So I'm not there yet. The other one that I remember, you were kind enough to share some of these questions with me. And I thought about them, and I thought that there's two others. One was positivity. So the first one is going to be that vision. Second one's going to be clarity / simplicity. The other one is positivity. And I learned something from Simon Sinek. I saw him present at a conference, and I wasn't a fan. I was like, everybody's kind of a fan of Simon Sinek. Now I'm like a raving fan. I'm like, he's incredible.
Oh, wow.
And he said that great leaders put others before themselves, which makes a parent a great leader because, you know, if something were going to happen to the person they care about, a caregiver, for example, they would usually put themselves in harm's way to protect the person they're caregiving. So positivity is empathy, humility, appreciation, like a win-win attitude of gratitude. So we all want everybody to win. And we appreciate all that everybody's doing to get to that win. And I think there was something you said in your TEDx, and forgive me if I'm misremembering, but it was talking about listening first. Oh, I think it was Stephen Covey said, seek first to understand, then be understood. Yes. It's kind of that, listen first to lift others up. And I'm going to stop in a second because I'm geek. I'm all excited. The other one, the last one is more, I don't know how to put this one in here. It does fit though. It fit for me. Mm-hmm. Creativity. And it's the ability to, specifically the ability to solve problems and find paths where others see roadblocks. So I find that to be a big part of the entrepreneurial side of leadership, but also in the managerial side of leadership, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yes.
It kind of goes together. And I read a book years ago called E-Myth Manager, or E-Myth, something like that, by Michael Gerber. And he said the world is made up from a business standpoint of three types of people: technicians, managers, and entrepreneurs. Now, he wasn't, leaders can be at any one of those levels, of course.
Oh,
you can
okay.
be a leading technician. But usually what happens is people have an entrepreneurial seizure. So they're an expert technician, and then they go, oh, I'll start a company doing it. But it's a very different skill set. Or they'll say, oh, you're so good at your job as a technician, we're going to promote you to manager. Very different skill set. Very different skill set. So that's when I realized that the ability to think creatively in any one of those stovepipes, any one of those verticals, I don't know what you'd call them, compartments, helped me a great deal. I learned I'm not a very good manager. I'm a pretty bad manager. And I got better. And I got better because of some of the stuff that that I learned from people way smarter than I am.
Wow. That's incredible. Okay, so there was a lot to unpack there. And
sorry.
nothing to be sorry for. Like, I just loved listening to it. And I've not read The E-Myth, though I have the book sitting on my pile of books to be read.
Okay.
But I'm glad that you shared that, because I think that's so true. Like, moving from, that's usually what happens for managers, right? You have your best technician and they get promoted to a management position. And then they're kind of like, okay, well, I'm really good at my job and I'm going to manage people so that they're really good at their job. But the gap, there's a huge gap there, like you said. And I guess even for you, so that self-awareness, that realizing that you didn't have those skills and then going out to get them is huge. Because I can tell you there's very many managers who do not have the self-awareness to manage, to know that they need the skill set to manage people better. So incredible. Okay. And I love that part with Simon Sinek about, you know, putting others in front of yourself. I think there's a book, Leaders Eat Last, that he wrote about this topic. I've not read that one, but I think that's so true. And all these skills, empathy, creativity, and the ability to see a path forward is really about, you know, making things a little bit easier for the people around you, putting them at ease and doing all these things that help guide them to, like you said, that shared goal.
Took me forever to learn. I'm still learning that, still learning how to be the person that's always supporting and reinforcing and helping other people achieve their goals. Because ultimately, that's exactly what my purpose is. If you want to be that, you know, specific, I've decided that being in service of others to help them achieve their goals is my purpose.
Amazing.
Well, sounds amazing, but it took a long time to get here and I'm still really bad at it. But yes, thank you.
No, I hear you every day. I think for me, I meet people with such diverse personalities and sometimes in the work that I do, if I'm facilitating, it's like trying to reach people with personalities that you've never experienced before. It's like, it's a real challenge. And I'm still very much learning that. So it's a learning journey. And, you know, we get to learn from each other, which is the beautiful thing. This has got me thinking about all the mistakes, both small and large, that I've made. But I'd love to know and learn from, what was your greatest challenge in your career or in leadership, anything like that? What would you say was that challenge that really transformed what you did moving forward based on that, the lesson that you took away from that?
I don't know that this is the greatest, but this is the first thing that comes to mind. It's staying the course, that vision, when there's short-term turbulence. So inevitably I'll be doing my thing, and then the signs, if you will, like different pressure points, will start making me question my path. And there was an old joke I heard years ago. It's a parable in for me, but basically there's this person who's very religious, and there's a flood coming, and they get on the roof. Oh, the flood rises, and they get on the roof, and a boat comes along. The person in the boat says, "Hey, jump on the boat, it's a flood, you don't know. No, God's going to save me." Now the National Guard comes along in a bigger boat, and they said, "You got to get in," because the boat, now they're just holding their chimney. They say, no. And then a helicopter drops a ladder down, and he said, "Come get up in the, you know, bullhorn, get up in the, come on, climb the ladder. No, God's going to save me." And then the person drowns, and he goes to heaven, and he sees God, and he says, "God, why didn't you save me?" And he goes, "Dude, I sent you two boats and a helicopter." So I think of that as a parable for, you know, are these the signs telling me to get in the boat and abandon post and go a different direction? Or are these just, you know, hiccups? So that's what makes me, you know, because I don't want to be at the end of whatever transpires and say, all the signs were there, I just wasn't open to them. I was so focused. So I balance those two things. I'm like, is this just a hiccup, or is this a sign for me to, hey, this is a bigger thing? It's, for example, AI and creativity. So is this a sign that I should look to different ways to package my solutions to help people? And I'm certain of the next few years with AI, the coming years. So I'm very certain in my path forward, and I've yet to see anything that makes me question it. But it's those types of things that give me pause.
Hmm. Yeah. You know, as you were talking, I'm thinking, what would I do if I was in your shoes? And truthfully, I don't know, because those things can really not only, you know, put you in pause, but also make you freeze and wonder, I don't know what to do here. And that is a challenge as a leader, for sure. And then it gets complicated, because you're leading a whole team of people, and you've got their livelihood and their futures in your hands, and you've got this big decision to make. That's a lot.
It is a lot. Yeah, that definitely weighs on me. If I have a sleepless night, it's not about me as much as it's about making sure my team's okay. I'm not as worried about, you know, my wife and I as much as I am concerned about Megan and Alvin and Danny and Dennis and, you know, their families and things like that.
Wow. And it's like what Spider-Man said, or no, Uncle Ben said to Spider-Man, yeah. With great power comes great responsibility.
Yes. Oh, to clarify, I own 24-Hour Company with a business partner, Dennis. Mm-hmm. So he's been my mentor. And that's one of the other things I've learned in life, is it's really good to have a mentor. So he was my mentor that got me the ball rolling, so that I was open to some of the amazing things that I saw in your TED talk, to open to reading E-Myth Manager and and 7 Habits of Highly Successful People. Another book I'd recommend, for what it's worth, is Dan Ariely's Predictably Irrational. Fantastic book. Fantastic book.
Ooh, I've not heard of that, but I'm glad that you mention it. So yep. All of our listeners and even myself, we can write these down and add to our to-read list. Thank you. Now, you know, you mentioned so many names, and I can tell that you're really passionate about your team and the work that you do. So, you know, when it comes to taking that creativity and that positivity and trying to engage and motivate your people, how do you do it? I know, big question.
Giving the because a lot, or the why. I think Simon Sinek's the why. I've heard other people say it's the because. Transparency is a big part of that, but it really boils down to that authentic enthusiasm, that communication that you talked about, giving the why. We're doing this because, because. And I think those things have worked very well for me. And again, I am guilty of not doing some of these things. The old saying is the shoemaker's shoes are the worst shoes in the village. So I think that these things are the right thing to do, and I'm still learning how to appropriately do them. So I guarantee you, if you talk to my team, they'd be like, Mike's good, but he could get better. And I agree completely. And they would say that, I would hope they would say that they've seen me get better over the years because I've learned from people better than me. And that's what it seems to be, is that authentic enthusiasm, that transparency, that honesty, if you will, and giving people the because. The reason why we're doing this is because it's not the parent because I said so. It's never what I equate being a leader to a parent necessarily. What I mean is if I give the reason why, that also opens the door for people to say, yes, and what about this perspective? And son of a gun, you're right. That makes more sense. Let's pivot and do that instead.
And I think that authenticity and that transparency, it just allows people to take the journey with you instead of feeling like they're forced because you're giving them some sort of command or directive. It's no, you know, this is what it is. This is what I'm trying to do. This is who I am, you know, and, you know, let's do this together. I can get better in these areas. You can get better in these areas. Let's go together. I think a lot of leaders, especially some that I've worked with and have seen, they step into this leadership role and it's similar to a parent. Like, they think they have to show up looking like they know everything.
Yeah, that's so far from the truth. In fact, I don't know about you, but I trust people more when they make mistakes and they admit and own those mistakes. They did an experiment where they had somebody selling something at a mall or at like a Costco or something like that. And they made sure that they did the first round perfectly. It was some device. And the second time they had the same person sell, but the second time they made them deliberately drop something and just feel uncomfortable. And they sold way more products because people resonated more with them. There was more of a connection. People want us to succeed. Like, the world doesn't want us to fail. The world wants us to succeed. And so when someone sees somebody who says, hey, can you lend a hand? We want to do that. We want to help them succeed. That's our natural knee-jerk reaction. And I've taken that when I do what's called orals coaching, which helps people give presentations. And that's one of the things I say, if you don't make a big deal out of it, nobody else will. And it's kind of good that you make mistakes, because if you're perfect, you're less likable, and likability is a big deal.
Yeah. Okay. Hold on. Let's talk about this orals coaching, because this is awesome. I agree also about, you know, giving less attention to those mistakes, because I have seen a lot of speakers who will make a mistake and say, oh, so sorry. I had a really sleepless night. And it's like, no, you could have just kept going.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have noticed.
Nope.
Yeah.
100%.
Do you have any other pieces of advice or tidbits from your orals coaching that some speakers might?
Oh, sure. I've got three rules we follow. One is, be yourself. Don't be fake. We have amazing bull stuff detectors. People buy people, and we're, you know, when I, forgive me, I'm beating this horse. but when I watched your TEDx, you just did such a great job of being likable, being authentic. Obviously you were prepared. it was clear, but it didn't feel forced. It didn't feel like overprepared. There's so many things you did right. So number one is be yourself. Don't be fake. I'd like to think that's who you are off camera and on camera. You know, I understand when your pipes break, you might say swear words, but still.
Yep.
Probably. Number two is we need to know what we want to say before we say it, which is what you did. You did a great job. You had your slides up there and your slides weren't something you were reading to, yada, yada, all those bad habits. But what you did so well is you knew the path that you wanted to take the audience. You knew the beats. You knew what you wanted to say before you said it. So you just figured it out. You figured out what the flow was. The third thing that marries well with the first and the second thing, rule, if you will, is practice out loud. Because in my head, I'm amazing. I'm like, I'm not messing up. Inevitably, I will fumble. I will make a mistake. How do I recover from it? How I have to learn that. And when I hear myself say things out loud, it might not fit as nicely with what I said earlier. Meaning I may have said something earlier and I think, oh, there's a better turn of phrase that would connect these two things. Because in my world, content is no longer king. Everybody has really good content for the most part. If you don't have good content, then don't waste my time. But in my world, context is king and contrast is queen. So I need everything to have context for me to understand the value and the purpose of it. So for example, if I was selling a widget and I said, or even better. So back in the day when the iPhone came out, somebody said, hey, here's an iPhone for, I think it was like $499 or $299. I can't remember. But at the time, phones were like free, 10 bucks. And so people said that's too expensive. And the anchor context again, that anchor was broken because the anchor was a phone. And then they fixed it and said, no, this is a personal computer, a camera and a phone for $299 or whatever it was. And they go, oh, that's a great price. So the context plays a major role. So if we ever just say something and we don't have context, it's very difficult for us to understand the value of whatever's being presented. And then the third thing is contrast, because the brain is wired to pay more attention to things that are different. Because, and this is a gross oversimplification, things that are different can hurt us. There's more to it than that, but things that are different can help us too. So when we hear or see or feel or notice something different, our brain goes, snap to attention. You need to be engaged. You need to pay attention to this. And that's why stories are effective and there's other mechanisms. But those are some of my techniques that I use in oral coaching, and they seem to help so far.
No, that's so true. As you were telling the story about the iPhones, I'm like, yeah, that is what happened. I remember a time when phones were really cheap and now phones are like $1,000 and people line up out the door for them. Yeah. We can't even imagine life without these personal computers in our pockets anymore. So that's so, so true. And I think I had an idea of where you were going with the contrast. Like maybe it's, you know, a mechanism of survival in our brains, like from way back in history and now. Yeah, like you said, let's snap to attention, pay attention to what this is and what this means. This is the beauty of having these conversations, because even though your expertise is in your industry in visuals and sales and the orals coaching, someone can listen to that, pick that up, and then apply it to their position or their role. That's the hope.
Yes, that is the hope.
Even the stories and the metaphors you share is kind of like, oh, I'm going to remember this the next time I'm having a conversation and something comes up. I can say, well, you know what I heard? And I really love the story about the boat and the helicopters in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, shorthand for my business partner and I, we were in a similar situation. I'll jokingly say, I sent you a boat, two boats and a helicopter. He'll laugh. I'll be like, yeah.
All these little things that have context.
Exactly. Okay. Context is king.
Awesome. Okay. So you know what? Just staying on the page of advice and, you know, in your whole journey into leadership and all that you've done and accomplished, what is a piece of advice that you would give to someone who is moving into leadership?
So I'm going to give a few pieces and I'm going to give a little context here. I'm not a firm believer in advice. And here's why. Advice assumes that you and I have the same superpowers, that we have the same experience and background. So what I'm going to do instead is try to give my experience and then you can mold it to fit your world. Does that make sense?
Yes, so, I love that.
But right now you said, what's your advice? So I'm going to repackage his advice and say things like you. Really, it's things that I learned for me that worked for me. So just know that this worked for me. It may not work for you. And the things were, listen more than I speak. So listen more than you speak would be the advice. What is it? 2 ears, one mouth, use them in that proportion. Lead with empathy. And empathy to me is, you've heard of the golden rule, right? Treat people as they, I believe in the platinum rule. Have you heard of that one?
Oh, no.
So the golden rule is treat people as they want to, as you want to be treated. And the platinum rule is treat people as they want to be treated.
Oh.
And in order to learn how they want to be treated, be quiet, listen, pay attention, ask questions, be genuinely interested in what people have to say. Find something about what they're saying that's just, that really intrigues you and tune right in. And then setting expectations or goals was a big one for me. So I would certainly say that seems to be effective. I was part of a group of people who I consider very successful financially and spiritually and just good people. I generally had good interpersonal skills. And I said, what is the number one thing you would teach your kids if you couldn't teach them anything else? And they all said the same thing. They said, set goals. I said, okay, well, that's a big one then, because you're pretty successful and you figure that out. So setting those clear expectations seems to be a big one. And the last one is, I think you already said it, we don't have to have the answers.
Yeah.
Ask great questions. That empowers others. You know, it's fine. If not knowing the answers to me makes you a better leader. Mm-hmm. And I assume the same for me. If someone says, hey, how do you do this? You know, that's a great question. I don't know, but let's figure it out together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's what works.
Yeah. The beautiful other side to everything that you said is, you know, as a leader, listening more than you speak makes people feel heard. Treating people how they want to be treated makes them feel welcome and part of the team. And I think that alone just engages them as part of your team so much that they're going to help bring that vision to life. And you guys are going to do it together and it's going to be successful. That is a beautiful package of what leadership should be. I think we're all on this journey in different capacities, but the platinum rule, like you said, and listening are huge. And I think they apply everywhere we go.
Everywhere. Communications, sales techniques, leadership techniques, all communication techniques, all of these are applicable in every facet of our life.
Mm-hmm.
Every single facet.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And so, Mike, you've shared some incredible knowledge, experience, stories, and you've been so authentic with us and our listeners here today. And so I think my final question for you is one that we ask everybody, but it is, Mike, what are you driven by?
I think I shared it earlier. It's helping others achieve their goals. There was somebody who said, I want to say it's like Dale Carnegie or somebody like that, but they said, if you help enough people achieve their goals, you'll achieve yours. So it's not like I'm being selfless. It's a bit selfish because, boy, do I feel good if someone says, oh my goodness, because of something you share with me, I was able to achieve this thing. I'm like, boy, that you couldn't have given me a better compliment. And that's what drives me. That absolutely drives me. Being in service of others, helping them get where they want to go. And that helps me get where I want to go.
That's
win-win.
Exactly. Win-win.
Yep.
So thank you so much for joining us on the What Are You Driven By podcast. If people would like to reach out to you or find you online or find more information about either of your companies, where should we direct them?
Just go to billiondollargraphics.com or 24hrco.com. My email's super easy. It's Mike at any one of those. So Mike at billiondollargraphics.com or Mike at 24hrco.com for 24-hour company. And you'll reach me. And I promise I'll get back to you unless email gremlins get involved, in which case I have no control over email gremlins. None.
I know. They're a pain. They are a pain. Even
they
with
do
my
exist.
Email. They do exist. So you guys heard it here first. You heard the warning about the email gremlins as well. But please, please do connect with Mike. He is charismatic, creative, and has so much to share. So thank you so much for joining us on the What Are You Driven By podcast. Be sure to tune in for the next episode.